Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Johnny Burton, Director of the Mineral Management Service in the U.S. Department of Interior. And joining us in our conversation is Steve Sika. Well, Johnny, could you describe to us the strategic goals of MMS?
The goals of the agency obviously have to be in sync with the goals of the department, which are the goals of the president. And the overwhelming goal of MMS is really to help production of energy for the nation and make sure that the public, since they are public lands, that the public receive a fair return on its asset, which in this case happens to be oil, gas, and onshore there are other minerals, obviously coal, etc. And so the strategic goals is to make sure fair market value is attained by those minerals and that the royalty on those minerals is the correct amount as decided by Congress. And we need to produce as much energy domestically as we can. Obviously, we would like to hold the line on imports. This country has been importing more and more of its oil. It's a very difficult thing to do because we are a very mature province in terms of producing oil and gas, and mature provinces decline. You exhaust your capabilities after a while. However, this is not entirely the case here. This country has lots of resources that are not being exploited by choice at this point, but the areas that are open to exploration, MMS is trying very hard to facilitate the work industry does so they can produce as much as possible. There is a conservation, and the word is often misunderstood. There's a conservation component to what we do. Conservation meaning managing the reservoir so they produce as much as they can. Sometimes if you produce a reservoir very fast, you get a lot of production, but you damage the reservoir and a lot will stay in the ground. We need to guide industry so they produce it at a level that will produce the most from what's available.
I understand that MMS's goals focus on two programs, the Offshore Mineral Management Program and the Royalty Management Program. What are the goals of these programs?
The royalty, well, we call it the management revenue. The management of the revenue has got to be done in such a way that we can assure the public that the minerals have been valued correctly, that the amount of royalty and the amount of rent, the amount of bonus received whenever we lease some area is a fair market value amount, and that the public receives its fair share. That's really the overwhelming goal of the Minerals Revenue Management Group. The Offshore Minerals Management Group, their goal is to manage offshore land. And we have, you know, submerged land, ocean land. Around the United States, you have roughly 1.76 billion acres. Now, we're supposed to manage all of that, but in fact, most of that is off limit. We don't do anything there. So, in fact, we manage less than 10% of that total amount. But that's still a very sizable amount, as you can imagine. Right now, I think in the Gulf of Mexico, we have about 40 million acres that are under lease, active leases. And so our goal there is to manage the submerged land so that we will get good production, if there is production to be had, but at the same time that we protect the marine environment, that we don't do any damage, the companies don't do any damage. So we have rules and regulations they have to follow. We make sure that the safety of the people is a consideration. And safety in terms of the ruggedness, if you will, of the material they put offshore. You know, you get a hurricane like Ivan that we just had. We have to try very hard to make sure the standards of building that industry is going to follow are strong enough to stand that kind of a storm. That particular storm was like the 500-year storm. It did a lot of damage. but it didn't do that much damage to the facilities. It did damage to pipeline mostly because we think there was a bottom wave that actually caused some super mudslides when it got to the mouth of the Mississippi. And those mudslides literally dragged pipelines and buried them and disconnected them. But because of the standards we set and the rules company follow and the technology that they've come up with, when something like that happens, there are so many valves that are automatically shut that even if the pipeline disconnects, there's a little bit of oil coming out, what was in that segment of pipe, but there's no more oil coming from anywhere because the wells are shut. All the valves held beautifully. All of this is what we do and what we feel is the critical part of our job.
Johnny, there are several interesting initiatives going on now at MMS. For instance, one is the deep water gas and oil exploration that's being done in the Gulf of Mexico. Can you describe for our listeners what deep water oil production is and how it's done?
Deep water production is relatively new, and by relatively, I mean they've been drilling in deeper and deeper water for the last 10, 15 years, but certainly the last 4, 5, 6 years have seen some tremendous progress in how they handle deep water. You have to think and remember that drilling a well on shore, for example, you put the bit in the ground and you turn it until you get down to a certain level. You run into problems, certainly hard rock, pressures, temperatures, etc. You have all of those things when you drill offshore, but you have one added component, which is enormous. It's the water column that you have to go through. All you need to do is go swim in the ocean to know there are a lot of currents. They're not always in the same direction, and they're not the same at all depths. So when you put a drill pipe into the water, you're going to have to think on how to keep it straight to go where you want to go with all of the motion that you have to subject your equipment to. When you drill in 20 feet of water, it's not that big a deal. 200 feet, 400 feet, the deeper you go, the worse it gets. Well, this last year, I think, or the year before, we saw the record of water depth worldwide was attained in the Gulf of Mexico. A company drilled a well going through first 10,000 feet of water. Now, when they can do that and stay on target and drill another maybe 15, 20,000 feet into the ocean floor, then you realize what technology has done in the last 10 to 15 years. Now, what that has shown us is that not only they can do fantastic things, but it also has shown us that the reserves of oil and gas exist in areas where we never thought about going before. And the deep water production of the Gulf of Mexico has been fantastic. It has now surpassed the volume of oil that's produced in the traditional part of the Gulf, which is the shallower water part of the Gulf. We think that the deep water production is going to really become almost three-quarters of all the Gulf production, and the Gulf production is very substantial. So this is a very important province, and it shows that the Gulf of Mexico is not a dead area, which a lot of company had thought, we need to move away from here. We've produced everything it's going to produce. Well, not so. Now that they have the capability of going deeper and deeper and further out, we now have rigs drilling, you know, almost 200 miles from the coast.
Another area of development is deep shelf gas. Can you describe what deep shelf gas is and what's the difference between that kind of production and deep water production?
Right. As I was saying a little bit ago, you drill certain depth in the earth, but you have to worry about the column of water. In the deep gas that you're talking about, it's the reverse. This is on the shallow shelf, shallow meaning shallow water, you know, under 400 feet of water, but they never had drilled very, very deep in the floor of the ocean. Now we think that there will be some substantive gas reserves in the very deep part of the shelf. And so that's where they are looking for natural gas. We've put in some incentive for them to do it. Since 2001, we've had an incentive to give them some royalty-free volume if they drill below 15,000 feet in the shallow shelf. And we think that our tally tells us that since then they've drilled about 26 wells. 20 of them are producing, which is a tremendous success. And the interest there is that there is all the infrastructure they need to take that gas to market, because alongside that shelf that has been developing for 50 years, you have about 36,000 miles of pipeline. So you can tie into a pipeline fairly quickly.
Interesting. How is MMS measuring the performance of its programs? We'll ask its director, Johnny Burton, for her perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.